Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Welcome to another edition of the Blue Crew, or episode, I don't know why I said edition, a New York Rangers podcast on the Bleed Podcast Network. I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, joined by my good friends, Avery Zaretsky and Cody Frankel. Avery goes first for round two. We are previewing the New York Rangers and Carolina series matchup, which begins tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock, as you're hopefully listening to this on Sunday morning, maybe as like a pregame, but we got a lot to get into. We're recording here Saturday morning at around 10 a.m., So we could talk Leafs Bruins tonight. Also, a lot to look forward to this weekend. I know Avery's getting ready to go on the golf course, but if you can look at all of us right now on YouTube, you'll see that we're rocking our new Melon hats, and we got a new sponsor from Melon, and we want to talk about these hats for a little bit. Probably one of the most comfortable hats I've ever put on my head. You can wear it to play golf. You can wear it to work out. It fits super well. It fits super snug. It's built for the water. It lasts 5 times longer than any other hat. I don't know if you guys want to say anything about it. Cody's already DMing Melon, annoying the shit out of them because he wants 10 more. But any word on the new hats, boys?
I love my Melon hat. I'm actually going to wear this one on the golf course today. Never.
Yeah, you got the matching shirt on and everything. You look.
Yeah, never had a hat that I haven't sweat through. So I'm really excited to see, because I know it's got the waterproof technology. I also know that they have a lifetime warranty. So if something happens to your Melon hat, you can get another one. Just like,
is that true?
Yeah, it was in the package. It said it. So just if you want to keep asking what for one like Cody, you probably can. They are the best. We love Melon. Also, I wear this one. I think this is their new one, dude. I think this is their new one. Yeah. And I wear it to work out, and I sweat in it like I jumped into a swimming pool, and there's no stains, nothing. It's amazing. Unbelievable hats. Love Melon.
And Melon rarely offers any discounts, so don't miss this opportunity. Head over to melon.com/bluecrew and use our code, all caps, Blue Crew, that's BLUECREW, to get 30% off of your purchase.
30. Whoa!
The code expires in 30 days, so you got 30% off at melon.com, MELIN.com/bluecrew, and yes, use our code, Blue Crew, for 30%
off. Did you say 30?
30. Yeah.
No, 30 is insane.
Yeah. 30 is legit. Also, Avery, what are you drinking?
I'm only reacting like that because we didn't even know. Johnny didn't tell us. Like,
yeah, I didn't tell you guys what it was.
30% is insane.
Yeah. So let's talk a little Rangers Hurricanes. I'm sure you guys are seeing all the disrespect on Twitter. I've been going at it with Dom LeCision from The Athletic, who does all the graphs and stuff.
Dude, I have a bone to pick with that guy.
What? He's actually a great guy.
No,
I've met him
before. I don't even want to hear it, dude. Okay. I know he's a fucking Islanders guy, but I cannot.
Is he an Islanders guy?
Yeah, he's an Islanders guy.
Yes.
And I cannot remember the last time that guy's put out something that hasn't been a hit piece on the New York Rangers. Okay. Every single year, for as long as I can remember that this dude has been covering The Athletic, he puts out some form of a hit piece on the Rangers. And I'm sick of this guy's shit. Okay. 66 to 34%. Is what this guy's putting out. Like, that's absurd. That's absurd. Can we start there? Like, that's the craziest. Like, having the Rangers be underdogs is one thing, but having them be like literally like puppies is another thing. Okay. I mean, it's absurd. What do you guys think about that? Cause I'm pretty pissed about that, and it doesn't mean anything. I still think we're going to take care of business, but it's really frustrating as a fan to just get the lack of respect. And it's like the Rangers had an unreal season. They rose to every challenge. They passed every test. Like, what more do they need to do aside apparently beat the Hurricanes to show that they're legit? It's fucking annoying.
I was just going to say it was the same way in 2022. The Rangers had the same analytical.
Yeah, but I think in 2022, they actually were underdogs.
Yeah. They are.
No, I know. I'm just saying these models show different things. And I do like analytics in terms of goaltending stats. I think they show a lot more because goals against average isn't like a really great stat, in my opinion. So I like it in that aspect. But
wait, you don't think goals against average is a good stat?
No.
What do you mean?
Because it doesn't accurately depict like how many like high quality chances the goalie's seeing. Like, yeah, you could see a goalie's got a 3.0 goals against average, but he could be facing 40 shots a game, all high danger because the team in front of him stinks. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So a goalie could be a lot better based on their actual analytics. But regardless of that, Rangers maybe might not be the best analytic team right now, but they're beating Carolina in pretty much every stat, and you pointed out, and some guy called you out and was just completely blatantly.
Well that was he was saying regular season, but like
I know it's so insane.
The Canes did finish the regular season with a better power play and better PK, but like it's by a minimal margin. But continue, sorry.
No, that was it. That's all I had.
Oh, my thing is just like, and this is what I said on Twitter yesterday, and it kind of like, I don't want to say it sparked anything, but like I'm already sick of this series and the puck hasn't even dropped yet just because of the back and forth with Canes fans. I've said it multiple times. Canes fans are my least favorite people to deal with on Twitter, on social media, on everything. But, you know, the Athletic and listen, I have so much respect for Shayna, Dom, Sean, like the people that make these graphs and put the actual data into it. I like it. And I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, they never played a game or whatever. Like, what do they know? Like, I'm a big analytic guy. I think they're important. I actually think they mean something. You know, Mike Kelly is one of my favorite people as far as analytics go. He actually pointed out something about the Leafs, like dumping the puck in game 5 and game 6, as opposed to trying to make plays over the blue line, like similar to Carolina and Florida. And that's what's helped them out a lot. There's like all these little things that go into it that I find fascinating. But with this one, I had the problem with, you know, I actually was DMing Dom about it. I was like, I don't get, not that I care, because let the Rangers be underdogs, all for it. I don't get why there are people saying the Rangers can pull off an upset. Like, what the fuck are we talking about here? The Rangers, and this is what I tweeted yesterday, the Rangers have the most wins in the NHL regular season. They have the better goaltending. They have the stronger top-end talent, 570-plus point scorers, and the Hurricanes only had 2. Sebastian Aho at 89, Jake Gensel at 77. The Rangers have the more dangerous power play. I don't care if Carolina finished with a better percentage in the regular season. I'm taking the Rangers top unit over essentially every single number one power play, maybe besides Edmonton, in the NHL. And the Rangers also have home ice advantage in this series when Carolina's gone 4-11 on the road in the playoffs since 2022. And I was like all these things, I don't get how the Rangers are considered underdogs here when they have all those factors. Like, sure, Carolina's better 5-on-5, but I don't know. To me, it doesn't make sense. But again, like, I don't mind them being underdogs because let them be. In the same breath, I don't think anyone would consider this an upset. If like an upset to me is when people don't expect anyone to win or a certain team to win, like Washington, if they beat the Rangers, yeah, that's an upset. But there are people that wouldn't be surprised if the Rangers beat Carolina. So why the fuck would it be an upset? I don't know. I think the Twitter battles are fun. It grinds my gears a bit. But
I get it. I honestly think there's just a lot of money on Carolina to win the cup. So that might skew the line a little bit. But yeah, I don't understand it. I feel the same way as you. But the Rangers, they don't care. They're gonna go out and play they're the best team in the NHL because they are. They won the President's Trophy. They swept the Capitals, who are obviously a pretty bad team, but the Rangers still got the job done. They didn't do it with any worry or any sign of that they couldn't do it. So, yeah, we'll see.
I actually, if you guys would let me, I have a little long thing to read here, but mm-hmm. I feel like fans would appreciate it. Right. I become pretty good friends actually with Thomas Hickey, the former New York Islander defenseman.
Yeah.
And we were texting yesterday. He told me he was going to tweet out like his little analysis on Carolina. Again, Thomas, you know, Hicks is a guy who covered the entire first round Islanders Canes, so he watched the Canes very closely. And as far as playing against the Rangers, he he wanted to put out some things on Twitter about his thoughts. So here's what Thomas Hickey said, and I'll read this verbatim. Here's my long-winded analysis on Carolina after round one as they meet NYR in round two. Overall, they underwhelmed me. I'm saying this because I have a great deal of respect and admiration for the Canes style and past performance. Despite winning the series in five, they only played one dominant game, game two. Credit to their opponent, the Islanders played very well, but they certainly have and will need to find another level of play. That said, they defend well and come up with a lot of 50-50 pucks. Seth Jarvis, very impactful, most consistent Cane in round one, has the burst, strong anticipatory instincts, puts himself in great positions, got bumped down in the lineup, but was still effective on a line with Staal. Brady Shea stood out, not flashy, but very effective. Strong at both ends of the ice. He's in line for a nice UFA deal this summer, something at his current AAV would provide great value to any team for the next 3-4 years. Sebastian Aho, great competitor, such a player. I think his game is better in round two. Svechnikov, finding his form again. So powerful, best Canes player on multiple nights. Anderson, adequate goaltending. Came up with some timely saves. His footwork looked rusty all series. That's something the Rangers can exploit. I said that, not Hickey. Gensel made big plays, but wasn't too noticeable otherwise. As things get harder in round two, I expect him to raise his level. Stefan Nason, quality depth player, timely goals, agitates the opponent. His game rises in the playoffs. Kuznetsov doesn't demand a lot of ice time, but he showed flashes of what made him dominant earlier in his career, had some big moments in the series. The way the Canes play requires him to play with more pace, which is good for him. Chatfield, as a sixth defenseman, you can't ask for much more. Could play on my team any day. So those are like little things that he took away from the series, but it sounds like he's not convinced that the Canes are better than the Rangers, which I think is something that should be talked about a little bit from a former NHL defenseman. Sorry, that I know that's a little bit long, but.
Sorry, that was awesome. I got the shoes. Yeah.
You what?
Basically, what he's saying is he wasn't listening to you.
No, I was listening.
That was fine. It was more for the listener.
Listen, I agree.
Basically, that they're just underwhelming.
I don't truly agree with that. I agree with the fact that like we match up very well against them. I do think the Rangers can beat them. I think the Rangers are going to beat them in six is my opinion.
I'm just saying, guys, also, we might have a surprise guest popping in any second.
Okay, cool. Well, what? They're a very good team. But also, speaking of that, let me I do want to read an ad real quick from our partners, Bet Online.
Yeah.
You know, Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season across the MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores are available to your favorite teams. So you can get the latest odds, lines, you know, including team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. So definitely head to the website today or use your device to get in on that action. And, you know, Bet Online is where the game starts. And I know I've used it. I think Johnny's used it. I'm sure Avery, being a big gambler, has used it as well. And, you know, it's a great site to fix all your gambling needs.
Well done, Cody. All right. What were you saying before that, though?
I was just saying, like, yeah. I think I don't agree with the fact that the Canes overwhelm me. I think they're easily a top, you know, 3 to 5 team in the NHL. Mm-hmm. But what I will say is so are we. And I think we match up really well against them. And I like I said earlier on, like this is the first year in a long time. I'm not nervous going into the series. Like I'm not like, oh my God, I don't know what we're going to do. It's going to be tough. Like, I think we're going to handle them. I straight up think we're going to handle them.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave? Yeah.
Oh, keep going. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, and seeing the odds really pisses me off. Like it's really irking me because it's just disrespectful at this point. Like it's just disrespectful to the guys who work their asses off all year long. I mean, do the Canes have a 100-point score? No, they don't. So suck it.
Yeah. I think the Rangers are going to take care of business in the series. I really do. I'm not too bothered by the underdog type thing, whatever. I've been telling everybody, and I really feel like at this point in my Rangers fandom, and I always talk about it, Team of Destiny, like I really don't have much to lose in terms of like, if this team doesn't win, like I guess I'll just never see one. So,
well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like in years past, it would be fair to kind of give them this sort of disrespect.
Right.
But this year, I feel like it's the one year where like they should be getting all the praise.
Yeah, yeah, I'm like, not, my thing is like, I'm not just going to like complain and be upset about them not getting the respect. Like, they're just going to do their job. They're going to prove everybody wrong. They're winning the Stanley Cup this year. I've never felt more confident. I've been telling people, I always usually say, I don't bet or whatever. Bro, if you don't think the Rangers at plus 700 are a great bet, you're out of your mind. With the way that they
buddy, I got the Rangers at plus 950 in November. Yeah. I'm an OG.
Well, we're bringing on a surprise guest here, guys. So Avery, I got to cut you off.
All right,
we got Dom Lecision from The Athletic to speak for himself.
Oh wow,
here we go. Welcome in, Dom. And before you even say anything, I have one question for you.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, Dom.
I'm sorry.
Explain yourself.
You know, you knew you were going to eat it when you put out that model. You knew it was going to be tough.
I did. I figured, well, I knew it would come from Johnny just because he's Johnny. But I figured he'd at least have like an understanding and appreciation of where it was coming from.
Before you got on here, I gave my praise before you got on here.
Yeah, I know he's a betting man. I know he sees the lines. I know he understands that is a large sum of what I do. With my model, I try to be as close to the market as possible. And I obviously am a little high on Carolina compared to the market. I think their implied probability is like 60%. I'm at 66. But the line has also shifted towards Carolina. So, you know, money is coming down on the Hurricanes right now. I don't think it's sacrilegious.
I think we lost you for a sec. Yeah.
Wait, your sound went out for a sec, Dom. Dom, do you hear us? Your sound went out.
Can't hear you.
Dom, I think your mic went out. Yeah, your mic went out.
Oh, that is very weird. We're
trying one more time.
We heard you. We heard you saying your model's 66, and then you cut
out. Okay. Yeah. So my model's at 66. It is a little higher on the Hurricanes, but the line has shifted towards the Hurricanes. I think it was at like minus 140. It's at minus 155 now or whatever. So there's money on the Hurricanes, and that's usually a good sign that that's the right side to be on. And I don't think it's a huge surprise because a lot of the models that bettors would use would be showing the same thing about why Carolina would be a heavier favorite than the market expects. But as you guys probably all know, the Rangers are a team that defies numbers a lot and wins more than expected. And when they've been doing the same thing for 3 years, there's obviously a reason for that, and they shouldn't be discredited for that reason.
I just wanted to say also, like, in your experience, you know, you've been doing this for a long time, have you seen a President's Trophy winner? And I know, like, the three of us pretty biased, right? We are.
Yeah.
Let's call it what it is. But it feels like, at least in my opinion, I haven't seen a team that's won the President's Trophy this like disrespected nationally. Do you feel that or no? Because we were saying before you got on, like in previous years, we'd understand why people are shitting on the Rangers being better than they actually were.
Yeah.
This feels like a different year, though, where it actually feels like they deserve the praise.
Yeah, and I just want to add to that before you come in. And also, and hey, Dom, I'm Cody. You know, I feel like that, you know, we obviously won the President's Trophy, like Johnny said, and it seems like no matter what level the Rangers raise their game to or how well they play, like they still ultimately don't get the love they deserve.
You're echoing here. That's exactly what I just fucking said.
No, stop. So, like, what my question is, right? Like, what essentially do they need to do to get that love?
There you go.
Like, aside from, you know, let's say they beat Carolina, sure, but like, I don't know, even moving forward, like going into the Eastern Conference Finals, if they somehow did beat Carolina, right?
And Florida's going to be the favorite no matter what.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Like, what would the Rangers need to do to get the love they deserve and the respect they deserve based on, you know, how they played this year?
I think deserve is an interesting word because I think it depends on who you ask. If you ask a Rangers fan, they'll say, look, the record, we deserve more love. And if you ask someone outside of New York, they will say perhaps the Rangers didn't deserve that record to begin with. And I think that is where a lot of the the vitriol for the Rangers, the disrespect comes from. But like I said, like they've done this 3 years in a row, and I think there is some credit to that. And I was on the Athletic podcast, I think, earlier in the year, maybe around March, and the same questions were asked, or like, are the Rangers a contender? And they were winning the East at the moment. Like, obviously, they're a contender. There's people who look at the 5-on-5 numbers and think this is a mid team, and I just think it's completely unfair given how elite they are on the power play, how elite their penalty kill is, how strong their goaltending can be. Like, even when I was saying that, I think Shestorkin had like this awful, not maybe not awful, but just not.
No, it was a bad stretch. He had a bad stretch.
And then he had that strong stretch in January or whatever. So he wasn't playing at like his peak potential, and the Rangers were still up there because Jonathan Quick was amazing. And they always have this formula to success, and I think it's one that we shouldn't discredit. But even that formula this year, I think their goal differential was plus 43 or so. Like, that was, I think, the eighth best in the league or something like that. So that's that's where a lot of the discredit for this year comes from, is that most people who look at the numbers and do the odds and all that, they don't really look at the record. They look at the goal differential, because that is generally a better indicator of how good a team is. And Carolina, I think, was 10 goals better than the Rangers.
Avery, why don't you tell Don what you said before about goals against? I thought that was interesting.
I said I'm not like a huge analytic guy. I think there are some that mean a lot, but I've always said that goals saved above expected and goalie analytics are probably the best by far, because goals against average really doesn't tell the full story of a goaltender's ability. Like, a guy could be on a bad team and have a 3 goals against average, but he's seeing 40 shots a night and 10 of the shots are always high danger. Like, I've always said that goalie analytics are by far, far and away my favorite.
Yeah. And I think in like previous years, especially, they showed how good Shesterkin was with how porous the Rangers D had a tendency of being. Like, it really accentuated how strong his seasons were. And for me, when I like model these things, even when Shesterkin was having his rough stretch, I remember writing that I think he's going to bounce back. He's one of the best goalies in the league. And it's better to have like a long view with goalies and sort of expect that someone with his pedigree would come around, which he did. And I think I have him rated as the second or third best goalie in the playoffs, obviously top five. And he may not have finished top five in goals saved above expected this year, but the expectation going forward is he has the best chance to do that going forward.
All right. Last question for you, Dom. We appreciate you hopping on like literally on short notice. I just DM'd him as we were talking about, you know, the season season preview and whatnot, or series preview. And Dom was like, fuck it, we ball. I'll hop on. So beauty for you of that. But if you had to give a prediction, which I know you already have, where do you actually see this series going? Because I think everyone sees this thing going 7. Like I talk to anyone, and I haven't heard anyone say it's going to be less than 6 games. So
have you talked to anyone outside of New York?
Well, yeah, people nationally. I don't know anyone that said Canes in 5, Rangers in 5. It's all 6 or 7.
Yeah, I would say Canes in 6. I think like a lot of people see like 66% and think, oh, it's going to be a blowout.
Yeah,
and it just means that even if this games are close, there's a bit more confidence in the Canes pulling it out. Sort of like with the Islanders series, like most of the games were close and tight, but the better team won 4 or 5 games or whatever. And I want to be clear that that number is not disrespectful to the Rangers. It's more reverence for the Hurricanes, who I do think are a different team with Jake Guentzel. They finally have someone who can actually score instead of taking 40 shots from the outside that Shesterkin will save with ease. And I think the biggest thing to look at is the Rangers' biggest strengths, power play and penalty kill, are equally matched by the Canes. I know that someone tweeted that more dangerous power play was on the other side. That is not true.
That was me.
The Canes were equal and slightly ahead. And I think they got better with Gensel, but I think the Rangers also had a strong close to the season. So that's where the 5-on-5 metrics, I think, really play a big role in this series. And that's where Carolina has a clear edge. And it might be 6-1 goal games, but I think that would favor the Canes overall.
But Dom, have you met Alexis Lafreniere?
No.
Well, don't bring up Laf because he has 0 goals in the playoffs. But but never
not a good time to start.
To take away from Gensel, I think only 1 goal in round 1, and I believe empty netter.
Yeah.
So yeah. Does it was he an suck?
Emphatic empty netter.
Does Jake Gensel suck?
It is possible that the clutch gene only applied when he played with Sidney Crosby. And now that he's on the Hurricanes, it's gone. That is something I brought up in the preview as well, because Panarin, he's been good in the playoffs, but not Panarin in the playoffs. And if he just is Panarin, then that line cooks and things will go a lot better for the Rangers. But I think they'll need a full team effort.
Yeah, and whether it's Rangers in 6 or Canes in 6, I think we can all agree that these games are going to be like 2-1 or 3-2 games, and every single game is going to be close. And the reason I lean towards the Rangers not being biased is like I like Freddie, obviously, but I think Igor's better. And I think if it's a close game, and you know, I tend to rely on Igor a little bit more, regardless of if the Canes have a little bit more of an explosive offense in terms of depth and so on. So.
Yeah, as you should. I think the only matchup in the East that might be equal, and I'd still take Shesterkin, is against Boston.
Yeah.
I think they'll have the goaltending edge regardless. Fred Anderson has been amazing since coming back from injury, and I think that is where Carolina does close the gap a bit more than expected. But Anderson is also, like, I'm from Toronto. I'm very well aware that he can be really, really hot and get really, really cold, and that's all it'll take. If you get cold Anderson for even 4 games, Rangers are going right back to the Eastern Conference Final.
Are you an Islanders fan? You're not, right?
Why did I think you were an Islanders guy?
Yeah, Cody said you were an Islanders fan.
I thought, like, you were an Islanders. Did you cover the Islanders at some point?
Have you? Do you guys ever go to Long Island and ask about me? Like, they have my picture posted on bars, most wanted man. In...
I was going to say, it did not sound right when Cody said it.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
know hate why, me. But... They hate me more than Rangers fans hate me. I love New York, but I can't go there because of the whole tri-state area.
I have one last final question. I'm going to let you go. I promise. Who leads this series in 5-on-5 goals? Who's your prediction? Not one for each in the series in general.
I'm going to go with Aho. I think he had a bit of a quiet series in round 1. I think he explodes a bit. He's someone who elevates in the playoffs. That's my guess. I'd take a Rangers guy if you want me to, but you said one,
you
so that's
can,
my guy.
Yeah, you can.
I'll say Trocheck.
Okay. I like it.
The revenge factor.
I will say to all Rangers fans, because we speak for a lot of them, I don't think you're a bad guy. I don't think... not, I will say this, though. Numbers do not lie, but destiny will prevail. Rangers in 6.
Any final thoughts, Tom?
For your guys' sake... I hope so. For my wallet's sake, I hope it's a very short Canes and 4 series and I don't have to sweat at all.
There you go.
We appreciate you, Dom. Thank you so much for hopping on.
Yeah, no problem. Dom. Thanks for having me.
Going? Leafs in 7. Let's do it.
Go Leafs. My God. I hope so.
Go Leafs, go.
Leafs, Rangers, round 3.
That'd be sick as hell, right? I would personally love that as a media member. I don't know if any fan would love that because it would cost $1,500 to get in the building in both cities. So
yeah, it'd be crazy. So anyways. We'll see.
Yep. Take care, have guys. A good one, Dom. Thank you.
Later, Dom. That'll be Rangers in 4, though.
Rangers in 5.
All right. That was awesome that he hopped on. I literally just sent him the link, DM'd it to him, and was like, hey, we're kind of talking about you if you want to hop on and defend yourself here and talk about the numbers. So
after I'm like, fuck that guy.
No. Great guy. Great guy. Seriously.
No, he seems like a good dude.
And, you know, the work they do, like we said, it's important. And I think, you know, so as a player, I'll tell a story too. Like, at UMass, after every game, every morning, we'd come into the locker room and there'd be an analytic packet from the night before, the game before, and we'd see all of our individual stats. And the coaches, like, judged a lot of our play based on you know, what our analytic numbers were. And one stat that really was important to our coach, Coach Ray Carville, was heavy shifts, which he considered to be, you know, anytime you sustain offensive zone pressure for 45 seconds to a minute, and the line that had the most heavy shifts always got like the most praise, because that is, you know, what obviously shows a little bit more dominance, right? When you play in the other team's zone for, you know, north of 30 seconds, it's a pretty good sign. Right. But, you know, what Dom does and what Shayna does and Sean at The Athletic, you know, while we might not always agree, you know, it's it creates a lot of conversation, which I think is good, too. Like, we've been talking for like 3 days about the Canes, and the puck hasn't even fucking dropped yet. So it's awesome.
Well, I used to do it at Quinnipiac, too. My sophomore, junior year, I did analytics for men's and women's ice hockey. And I, like I said, numbers, they don't lie. You can't fake numbers. But like I said, destiny will prevail, and the Rangers are going to win.
We are a team of destiny. So,
Yeah.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
All right, let's get into some fan questions. But before we do that,
also, can I just say, Dom what? For sure wanted to say Canes in five. For sure.
You think so?
For sure. 100%.
Yeah.
Not happening, but
no. All right, fan questions are actually brought to you by a new sponsor, Breakaway Payments. Rangers fans, we are pumped to be working with Breakaway Payments. This is a credit card processing company that my mom used when she had her retail clothing store. She said they are the absolute best. She was paying so much in credit card processing fees every month. Breakaway Payments saved her so much money by reducing and eventually eliminating her merchant fees. Breakaway Payments has payment processing solutions for retail and e-commerce businesses, custom integrations, and more. So email fellow Rangers fan Brett@breakawaypayments.com or visit their website, www.breakawaypayments.com. That's www.breakawaypayments.com. Let's go Rangers. So let's get in to fan questions. And Cody, just for your background, Brett is the one who asked about Rossovic on last week's show about how you feel about Rossovic since the deadline.
Love him.
But let's get into...
I want to start a business. I said, shout out Brett. I want to start a business now.
Yeah. Breakaway payment. All right. So there's going to be so many similar ones like always, but this one's a good one to start off with. Mike_D92 X factor for the series minus Trocheck, he says.
I already said it. Alexi Lafreniere, because he is the 5v5 guru on the New York Rangers right now. And if they want to, you know, really get down with it in this series, like, yes, there are absolutely going to be some very big power play goals that I expect to give us, you know, somewhat of an edge, but they have to score 5-on-5 if they want to win the series. I mean, that's what it comes down to, right? They have to. Like, they can't be especially against the Caps, where what was that game? We had like 7 penalties, 8 penalties. Like, we can't be doing that against the Canes. So,
yeah.
I'm going to go for a guy on our back end, Adam Fox. He's going into a building where he gets booed all the time. He gets crap for leaving and coming to us. He's got to be the guy. He's got to be the number one Norris Trophy winning defenseman that we all know and love. And I think he will be. I think he's going to have a dominant series, especially as the quarterback of Power Play 1, which we know. We talked to Dom. It's been very even, and we know how aggressive the penalty kill is for Carolina. So we need to be moving the puck strong, throwing pucks on net, and it all goes through Adam Fox. So number 23 is my guy.
I always look at the X factor question, and I think it's like always a depth guy. Like, you know, to me, if Aho, Svechnikov, Brent Burns, Gensel, Panarin, Trocheck, Mika, Fox, like to me, those four on each side, as long as they hold serve, you know, like it's who's going to be the one guy that steps up, right? Like, you know, Stefan Nason had three big goals for the Hurricanes in round one, a guy who plays in their fourth line, gets some power play minutes. Like to me, he was kind of the X factor in that series for the Canes. But for the Rangers, Avery, you're going to be surprised that I'm saying this. Like I'm looking at two guys and it's Kaapo Kakko and Jack Roslovic, you know, because you kind of know what to expect from the Fox and the Trocheck. But Kakko, who I've been very critical of all year long, anyone who listens to this knows that.
Yep.
The man-on-man in zone that Carolina plays, to me, the speed of Roslovic, and I asked Laviolette this question too. I'll plug that in here.
About the man-on-man 5-on-5 in the offensive zone, that aspect. You know, I feel like a lot of coaches, last 10, 15 years, it's all about creating off the cycle below the goal line. And it seems like now the game has transitioned into this creating off the cycle like higher in the zone, you know, being interchangeable with the defenseman and whatnot. It seems like you guys do that really well. The Islanders have a lot of success with that. Against Carolina, is that just the way the game has evolved, or is that a particular thing that teams do against the Hurricanes?
I think that when it comes to how you run your offense, I think that you have to look at the way a team defends, whether they're what type of defensive zone coverage they're using, and then you've seen things that work and don't work against maybe the three different types of D zone coverages that are out there, and from there you try to implement the offensive zone play based on how you think it might be successful. So it does change. It does change a little bit for me based on what the D zone coverage is doing.
I'm also curious about like two guys whose games are different. You know, with the man on man, the guy like Roslovic, whose speed obviously is what separates him. Then the guy like Kakko, whose strength separates him, and how you see, you know, those two guys in a series like this, what they.
I think it goes back to the way I answered the question over here when I was saying they're different players. They do it differently, and that's what makes them successful. So I wouldn't try to make one the other, and the, you know, I wouldn't try to, that's how they do things. You're right. Rosie does it through speed and quickness and acceleration, and Kaapo does it based on his size and his ability to hang on to pucks and bull his way around down low. They both do it differently. So, but that's what makes them successful.
But the speed of Roslovic can create so much separation and room, especially in the offensive zone. Like he's one of the best at the cutback, the Gretzky curl, whatever you want to call it. And I look for him to kind of use that in his own advantage to create separation and maybe, you know, create scoring chances for himself. And then Kakko below the goal line, you know, I asked Kaapo at practice the other day how he feels about the man-to-man. And this is the exact quote he said. I like it a lot. I feel our line has been good in the O-zone. That's the game we try to play every night. I like to play the man-on-man, especially down low behind the net, try to lose your guy and create a chance because of that. I think it's going to be good for us.
You know, me personally, I think with the man-to-man that Carolina plays, you know, I think that helps your game a lot, right? Because you can win a lot of one-on-one battles in the offensive zone. And, you know, obviously below the goal line, your game is very strong. Is it a matchup that you embrace with that? You know, how do you feel, I guess, going into the series, knowing that it fits your style?
I mean, I like that a lot. I feel our line is being good in the O zone. So that's the game we try to do every night, and I think I like to do that man on man, especially down low behind the net, try to lose your guy and then get the chance biggest of that. So I think that's gonna be good for us.
And then what do you make of the atmosphere down in Carolina? Do you like playing down there in front of those fans?
I mean, I think it's always been nice to play there. You know, they have a good team. It's usually like real, you know, tight games. Both. Couple good games playing each other. I mean, it's loud over there, so same like in our building, so it's gonna be nice, all those games.
Yeah, and then the last one I got for you, what do you think of Joel Embiid?
Joel Embiid? I'm not gonna say anything. I just hope they're gonna be into that, so.
Thank you, appreciate it.
And Avery, I feel like you've talked about the third line a lot with Wennberg and Cooley, and I think when it comes down to it, like that to me is going to be the deciding factor in this series. Like whose third line you know, is going to be the difference maker. I think the third line for Carolina is Martinook, Natchez, and who's their center on the third line? I'm blanking on it right now. You guys know off the top of your head?
On Carolina?
Yeah, who's their third line? I think it's Stahl. I think it might be Jordan Stahl.
No, Drury. Drury is third line. Jack Stahl Drury? Second, right? Yes, yeah, Stahl second line.
I'm blanking on it right now.
Yeah,
but,
no, it's Drury because it's Martinook, Drury.
I thought Drury played wing.
No, I think he plays both. I think they have him play both.
He's definitely you're right. Yeah, you're
right. Definitely three. Because Stahl's two, and then Jarvis and Teravainen's.
Good call. Yeah. But yeah, my I'm giving two in minor Kako and Roslovic.
I like that.
Really hope.
I mean, I'm gonna jump in there and say like, Kako's got to step up. Like, and Avery, yeah. I know you've been a big defender of him all year, and like, I think this is the perfect series for him to step up for the Rangers when they really like depth is going to prevail in this series, and they really need like what they did in the first series where they're having a whole bunch of different dudes score. That's just not the same four or five core guys that you get all year long. Like, I think that is so evident, and that is like what they need to win this series. And like guys like Kako, even Wenberg, like, you know, he didn't have a point in that first series, I'm pretty sure. Like, they need that third line to get buzzing. And they had a great series in the first series, don't get me wrong. But offensively, did they? No. So, like, I think in this series, like, the third line is going to be crucial for us.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't really expect them. I don't need them to be, like, super offensive. I needed them to do exactly what they did in round one. They didn't let up a goal the entire series. Like, totally. Just do that and let the top guys, the Panarins and the Mikas of the world, take care of the job. That's how you win.
I think we need I think we need some form of contribution from them. I think like whether it's a big goal.
How is that not like, contribution? They didn't allow a goal. Listen.
I said offensive contribution.
Why? Why would we need that?
Because we need depth to win this series.
I understand why we would need it, but your top line, your top two.
Because what if Mika's cold? What if Mika and Panarin get locked up?
Then we won't win. Then we're not the team.
You guys feel like one at a time. You're just screaming over each other.
Right? Yeah.
Johnny, shut up. So no, I disagree. Because I think that if Panarin and if Mika and, you know, Kreider, whatever, like if they have a cold game, we're going to look to that third line to produce. Like, and if they don't, yeah, we're going to lose the game. So I think the point is like, if they produce, we win the game there. So I don't know. I think we do need some form of offensive contribution. If they do exactly what they did in the first series, fine. But I would like to see a little bit more, especially from Wenberg and Kako.
I'd want to see them score seven goals. But my thing My thing is like, if the top line and the second line go cold, we're not winning anything. We're not getting past Carolina. We're not beating Florida. Like every single night they have to contribute no matter what, especially when it gets down to the second, the third round, and maybe even the Stanley Cup. So it's like, we can't just be like, oh, like if they go cold. We know what happens if they go cold. It's happened our entire lives is when the top lines go cold, we don't win. That's just what happens. They have to do it every single night. And that's why my X factors are the top guys, because we know that in previous years when they've gone cold, we just haven't won. And this is the year for them to not go cold and every single game have some contribution, because the third and fourth lines are doing their job. Just because they're not scoring, they're doing their job. They didn't allow a goal. The third line didn't allow a goal in the first series. That's doing their job. Would it be nice if they scored? Absolutely. Kako got arguably one of the biggest goals in the series scoring first. You don't know what happens if the Capitals score first in game four. They probably win that game. We probably have to go to a game five. It could have happened. So I think that I'm really happy with the way the third line's played. Just keep doing your job. Keep playing hard defensively. Make it hard on the top lines. If you get the mismatch on the road, just do that, and I think we'll win this series no problem, because the top guys are locked in. Mika's locked in. Kreider's locked in. Panarin's going to have a better series. I know it. I feel good.
This next one from JamieOla94. Tell the fans booing Tony D is below us. Don't do it. That's a comment, but here's what I'll say. Boo the shit out of Sebastian Aho. For the hit on Fox earlier this year. That should be a thing. Aho should get booed.
Do you,
If I could do it from the press box, I would. I can't.
Do you think retaliation's on the cards?
No.
Way, right?
No.
Because they played since.
Yeah. No. It's not even a thought. Yeah. But if I'm talking to the fans right now, let Aho fucking hear it. Like, you may as well, right?
Yeah.
Giordano 1399. This is interesting. Is there a Gensel narrative to the series since the Rangers were in on him at the deadline? I personally don't think so.
I don't think there's a Gensel narrative. I just think it's very known Gensel is a Ranger killer. I mean, he's, you know, what he did against us in 2022, right? I think he scored 3 or 4 goals that series. He is a very good and dynamic player. The important thing for the Rangers, right, to win this series is like shutting down Gensel is one thing, but then you got to worry about Svechnikov and Aho too. Like, mm-hmm. you got to realize they have a lot of guys who can score. So
Svechnikov was really good against Sounders too, we'll say.
Yeah. So I think it's just important to keep that in mind. Like, yes, Gensel's good. Yes, the Rangers ran on him. They didn't get him. I said this from the start. Like, Pittsburgh was never trading Jake Gensel to us. It just was not happening. Pittsburgh doesn't do moves with us. Like, we hate them. They hate us. It just wasn't happening. It wasn't a thing. Meanwhile, we got two great guys in Wennberg and Roslovic who have contributed immensely. And honestly, this is where I look to the third line, and I look at a guy like Wennberg to shut him down and shut down their top players. So, yeah, so suck on that, Gensel.
Yeah.
Avery?
No, I think Cody said that perfect.
Next one, Chio Fallow. Are you nervous for this series? Are you nervous for this series or confident we can keep streaming?
I'm more nervous watching Johnny eat Italian food and put ketchup on spaghetti, okay? We're winning this shit. Let's go. Well,
damn right.
I think we kind of talked about it with Washington. Like, this almost feels like the first round just because there was no sense of nervousness in the first round.
I agree but also disagree, right? Like, I think... Is there nervousness in this series? For me personally, no. But at the same time, really? Do I know Carolina is a significantly better team? Absolutely.
You're not like nervous at all?
I'm not, dude. I am telling you, like, there is two teams right now that would get me a little nervous, I think, in these playoffs, and that is literally Florida and the Avs. And I think the Canes are the better team than Florida personally, but Florida makes me nervous. Just listen, Florida makes me nervous because I think they're a tougher matchup for us specifically. Like, I think they match up way better against us than the Canes do. Are the Canes a fast team? Are the Canes a good team? Sure. Do they have a great coach? Sure. But so do we. We have a great offense. We have a lot of dudes. They have dudes. Like, let's dude it out and fuck them up.
Let's dude it out? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
That's funny.
I agree with Cody in the sense that I'm not nervous because I know – like I've been saying before, that this is the team of destiny. Like, I just know they'll get it done somehow. But in game, like, I'm going to be nervous just as the fan that I am.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, when things are happening. But I know that, like, you know, sometimes when you go back and you watch an old movie, like, you watch, so it could be like a trilogy, and you know that the character isn't going to die.
You're saying that because you just watched Star Wars last night. I know what you're saying, Nat.
I know, yeah. But what I'm saying is, like, you know how when you rewatch the first movie, you know the character isn't going to die in a crazy scene because he's in the second and third movie? It almost feels like that with the Rangers, where it's like, I'm still nervous rewatching the movie, but I know that they're not going to die because I know they're going to win the Stanley Cup.
An analogy of the year.
Can we clip that and just post that and just have see what people think?
Does that make sense to you, though?
Rangers X Star Wars collab?
Like, all right. Last night I was watching the movie. I was watching Phantom Menace, and I was on the edge of my seat watching Anakin race around in the pod racer. But I know that he is in the movies until the sixth movie, so I wasn't worried that he was gonna die in the pod racer. But I was still on the edge of my seat because it's an exciting scene in the movie. So, like, when the Rangers are playing, it's exciting. But in my mind, I know that they're winning the Stanley Cup this year, so I just know that they're not going to lose.
Because heroes are remembered, but legends like the Rangers never die.
But here's the thing. We've seen this movie play out, and it's never ended well. So that's where I'm like...
But I know how this movie's going to end, is what I'm saying. Okay. I've been telling you all year. It's a team of destiny.
Because he's a Jedi.
That's going to be the clip. That's the clip for Avery for this show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one. Jackknife 82. This one's so funny to me. And he always, I love Jack because he always comes up with clever ways to ask questions. Like he really does. This one, how many games do you think Igor needs to, in quotes, steal this round? We might need a shutout this round, which like I find so funny because like needing a shutout, like, yeah, you want your goalie to fucking shutout every game. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. But there's going to be one game where I think in Carolina, the Rangers are totally dominated. So I get where he's coming from. I don't think that the Hurricanes are going to like fully dominate maybe more than one game. But you're going to see like that 1-0 game in Carolina earlier this year where Carolina throws everything they can at the Rangers, but you know, they're diving to block shots, doing all the little things, you know, to squeeze out a win. I think there's going to be one game where Igor has to steal, but
yeah,
I don't know if you guys feel differently. But I love the way he asks questions on here. It's great.
So one was my number two.
Huh? Three.
Yeah.
Three.
No, I'm saying like you said two, I said three.
Yeah.
I agree with you guys. Yeah. I think one game and it's going to have to be in Carolina.
Yeah.
Not to say I don't think there's – I do think there might be more than one game.
Yeah, the Canes spanked us 6-1.
Yeah, I do think there's more than one game that the Rangers get, like, outskated. But, you know, I could see the Rangers getting outplayed in a game and then end up winning that game, like, 3-0 or something. Like, we'll see. But
he also had another one that was just, you know, not Ranger-focused, but interesting. Would you rather the Bruins lose blowing a 3-1 lead again or the Leafs losing game 7 against Boston again? I want the Leafs to win. I want the Leafs to win too,
yeah. Just because I hate Boston fans. They're a bunch of little scums and bottom of my shoe dirt. And you know,
what did Cody say like 2 weeks ago? Yeah, I went to school in Boston. Went to the University of Rhode Island.
Yeah. In New England. In New England. But they're a bunch of little scumbags, and you know, anytime they lose, it gives me genuine joy. So yeah.
So Leafs, dude, that was the number one thing in college because we had a lot of New England kids. They're like, oh yeah, I grew up in Boston, and then you like actually find out where they live. It was like 2 hours
Southern Connecticut north
of Boston. Yeah. or they lived in Massachusetts, but it was like 2 hours north of Boston.
Yeah.
So like honestly, when I say UMass, people like assume that I went to school in Boston. It's an hour and a half away.
UMass it's nowhere near Boston.
I know. I was just saying that.
No, just shut up.
I'm like the opposite. I have to tell people I didn't go to school in Boston.
Yeah.
This one, P Volpe 92. How personal do you think this series is for Trocheck, or is it just another series for him? His quote himself was, "It's just another series."
Yeah, so. I think the guy might have pulled that quote. He said that.
I think you already know the answer, P Volpe. Yeah. But yeah, like listen, players, you know, I think the revenge factor is always something that fans love to talk about. I don't think players really feel that way that much. Also, it's been like 2 years that Trocheck's been gone. Yeah. You know,
we could say the exact same thing for the Canes, right? For Brady Shea, for Tony D'Angelo, for, you know, Quickie, even though I think Quickie's hurt, right? He's not playing.
Yeah, he's not playing.
Yeah. So, you know,
and Quickie is just for fast for those who don't know that.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't know that, I don't know what to say.
We also have a Quick on our team.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I guess, but, you know.
We know what you're saying.
Yeah.
The audience back home.
Richie McKenna, who I always see at the Garden, great guy, great head of hair. When Hedo inevitably gets in the lineup, do you put him at RW1 or 3C? And we've been getting this question a lot. I kind of want to put these questions to bed, to be honest, because no one's asking Laviolette about it anymore. Laviolette has said specifically, I'm not talking about individual player statuses or lineup changes until there are any. So the questions about Hedo, like there's no answer.
He's not playing tomorrow. He's not playing, and he's not going to play in this series unless he's 100%. And I don't even know if they'd throw him in mid series. I don't know. I mean, it's.
I don't mean to cut you off, but I am starting to think that Hedl is not going to play in the playoffs at all.
Yeah,
because if he is healthy, then he should be in the lineup. So there's something that's going on.
I've said that from the start. He's not going to play unless he's fully 100%. And like we would know.
But he technically, it's set. He's practicing normally. There's no limitations on him. So you'd think he technically is 100%. So there's got to be something going on here.
They would. That, They would announce it though, right? Like him coming off of LTIR.
LTIR exists in the playoffs, so I don't think there's.
Yeah, but then they did it with Stone, don't they? Don't they have to formally announce it? But
Stone was before the playoffs. Stone was before the playoffs.
Yeah,
well, it was right after game 82.
I feel like they would formally announce it, but it would probably be the day of the game. So, yeah, I agree with Johnny though. I think they probably just brought him back for team morale type thing, but we'll see.
Yeah. All right. Next one. We'll do like two more. Perry Kunivelis, how important is home ice advantage, especially against a team like Carolina? The home ice advantage is everything against a team like Carolina. Carolina, like I said, they're 4-11 in the last 2 years in the postseason. The Rangers were the second best home team in the NHL this season, 30 wins on home ice. Carolina is probably one of the toughest places to play in as a road opponent. So the Rangers got to take care of home ice. I mean, listen, yeah. am I gonna be nervous if it's 1-1 going back to Carolina? Not so bad, but you know, it'd be a fucking hell of a lot better if they go to Carolina up 2-0. So I think home ice is huge here. And the fact that the Rangers have home ice, if it goes to a game seven, it's very big. So that's why the Rangers needed the President's Trophy. That's why they didn't rest anybody for this specific reason, to play against a team like Carolina and have the home ice.
And just to, that was very well said. And just to add to that, shout out to Carolina's brass for being a giant bunch of boners and trying to block Rangers fans from going to their games. You guys are a bunch of losers, and we're still going to infiltrate your stupid city and kick your ass.
Avery?
Well said. It happened in 2022 though, and people still found a way. Like it felt like the Rangers were still majorly in that building. But what I will say,
majorly, that's a new one.
That wasn't a word. That wasn't a word. But it's okay.
I don't know. I got golf.
Avery's got golf on his mind. He's trying to get out of here.
Yeah, I do. What I will say is that it's crazy, and we didn't talk about it, and we should probably end on it. Rod Brind'Amour, all this stuff coming out about him. In this playoff run, it's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
John, I was good. That I was kind of like,
I, that's it.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah,
last
question. It's just weird. Yeah.
The timing of it. And, you know, it's like, you know, they haven't come to a deal. Then, like, 2 days later, they've come, or not even 2 days later, maybe a day later, they've come to a deal. Like, I think they're, are they using this to try to rally the Canes? Like, is that something that, you know, it's like, maybe if we announce that Rod's going to extend, it'll fire everyone in Carolina up or something. I don't know. It's weird timing.
They were like, oh, an extension isn't even close, and that they're not considering not renewing him. And then they're like, all that dust is cleared up. They're going to extend him. Yeah. Mm. It feels like it's some type of rallying cry, but it was just weird the way it came out, the way it did.
I agree. All right, we'll end it on that note. Any final thoughts before we see game one happen, boys? We're going to record after game one, so Sunday night we'll record, and we'll have that episode probably up by like midnight Sunday, so you guys will have a little bit of a fresh take, I guess.
Final predictions, go.
I said Rangers in six. I'm sticking to it.
Just said to Dom Rangers in seven, but it's fine. I say
Rangers. No, I said everyone else is saying it's going seven.
Oh, you're different. Facts. All right.
Yeah.
Legend.
Yeah, I agree. Rangers in six. Right. They're gonna win on home. They're gonna win on the road. They're gonna win two. They're gonna win both at the Garden to start. They're gonna split 1-1, and then they're gonna lose the Garden, but then win in Carolina.
Okay. you Avery's killing me today, dude. All right, love it. LFGR, all right, baby.
Thank you to Dom again for hopping on. Very nice of him. Now do it.
LFGR, baby. Rangers 6.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.